One-on-One with Greg Pogue, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, live from Bongo Java at Omni Nashville. For the next hour, One-on-One with Greg Pogue gets up close and personal with those making the news and those reporting it. Also brought to you by the Southern Steak and Oyster, Gary Force Acura, the Nashville Predators, Toots Restaurants, and Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and more. Now, Greg Pogue.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of our Saturday morning broadcast block, 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. We are right here at Bongo Java, and my guest today has actually sat in this chair as a co-host or a fill-in host for the show. Those mornings I couldn't get out of jail in time. he is our afternoon show host, none other than Johnny Ballpark Franks. Hey, Johnny.
Thank you for having me. This is really strange being in this position.
Yeah.
I have to be honest with you because, you know, you and I both get opportunities to talk on other radio shows across the country. But to be in this position, to be a guest, I'm honored, first of all. But secondly, a little weird, a little strange.
Well, yeah, to be the subject this radio station that you work for. I've had Bill King, I've had Big Joe, now you. So I've hit all of the hit everybody. I have Jeff Diamond, who's done the show with you for years and years and everything. But I do want to know this though. Of course, Johnny, every afternoon, 4, sometimes 6, sometimes 6:30, sometimes 7, depending on whatever program we have at
right.
the night. Right.
Right.
But 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock every Friday, Monday through Friday in the afternoons.
And by the end of this show, we're going to make you choose Florida State or Alabama. Okay? You're not walking out of here without accepting one and denouncing the other.
But since both of those universities got my money as far as the system, why can I not claim both? And here's the thing, too. Remember, that first of all, I've been very fortunate to... our football coach at Florida State when I was a student was Bobby Bowden, and it's so cool now being friends with Bobby Bowden.
I hear him on your show all the time.
And when I was a kid growing up, when I first started in this business, when I was 13, strangely enough, but when I was 14, I reached out to Bear Bryant when he was on his Crystal Hamburger tour in Huntsville, Alabama, and I had a nice 10-minute one-on-one chat with the Bear. And so because I also went my first year in the Alabama system before, you know, my freshman year before transferring to Florida State, I feel like I can claim both, especially being a lifelong Bama fan and being a Florida State grad.
You know, but it's not like you're claiming Eastern Michigan and, Southern Miss.
Right.
Okay. I just apologize to either graduates of either one of those schools randomly pull. You're pulling out two national championship caliber programs, or should be.
But they the difference is Alabama was there, Florida State was not there until Bobby Bowden got there. And in fact, it's one of these things that Bobby Bowden created. But that was still, we're talking about it one year where they were winless in the 70s, but almost beat a Alabama team that was competing for a national title, end up losing by one. But Florida State was not the Florida State that we now know back when I started going to school there. It had some moments, but as far as the 14 straight years of top five finishes, that did not start until 1987.
When it's one-on-one with Greg Pogue, with Johnny, the photo that Ty took and just tweeted out has a good shot of your back.
Well, see, it's my hair, so that's a good thing, though. So I don't have any bald spots.
Good job, man. So, no, you've got it right. Don't talk about glare, and don't talk about everything. You've got our both good side. Me with an angle shot's not very good. But anyway, no, that's just another. Just thought that if you're out on Twitter right now, you got a good shot of the backside of Johnny for whatever that works.
Well, we both have faces for radio. So
well, there you go. So Johnny Franks is our guest, Ballpark. We're going to get to a lot of different things, but how many years have you been doing it at 560 now?
I started in August of 2014.
And, okay.
And my talk show career began in April of 2008 down in my hometown of Huntsville. So I left Nashville after working all those years inside sports and entertainment. I thought, you know, with the fact that I've been in rooms, been in, you know, worked tournaments, I've covered so many practices and all that, I wanted to put all that knowledge, not just covering sports, but also being inside sports and athletics from minor league baseball to college athletics. I wanted to combine all of those things and come to this side. And so it started in 08, and then I was very fortunate to have the opportunity to go then to the coast to help launch an FM station in Biloxi Gulfport, which is halfway between New Orleans and Mobile. And then Adam Johnson reached out, and so in August of 2014, here I am.
Yeah.
And this is where I want to be. To me, this is my New York, this is my Chicago, this is my Los Angeles. Nashville, I guess because of all the years I put into the sports scene as far as Nashville was concerned since the mid-'80s, Nashville was always the it city for me.
Yeah, and it's the it city for everybody now, by the way.
I've noticed that.
We need to, Big Joe says we need to put, you know, border walls up and everything. But he says, I think his number now is up to 30,000 people a week are moving here.
You know, it's strange when people move here now, they think, oh, this was always the case.
Yeah.
As far as Nashville being a great sports city, you got the Titans, you got the Predators. It wasn't always that way. And I used, you know, people forget this, and maybe in some cases people don't know. And to me, I go back to the right people getting credit for what we are today. People have forgotten. And I give full credit, for example, to the Larry Schmidtos of the world. You know, individuals who, on his own dime, he launched the Nashville Sounds with other, you know, some famous musicians like the Conway Twitties of the world, etc. But this was Larry Schmidtos's dream, and in 78, he, of course, started the Nashville Sounds as a double-A team for the Reds. They then moved to become a double-A team for the Yankees, and then they made that next step to triple-A. But people forget that Nashville in the late 80s was on the short list of expansion teams as far as Major League Baseball. And I always use the example, describe Nashville then to where we are today. Today we have believers. We have individuals in political offices, in the business world, in the leadership roles where people believe in Nashville. That wasn't the case in the 80s. And Larry Schmidtos and individuals that were trying to push Nashville to be one of those teams that to become the next Major League Baseball franchise, always described it as the Jan Brady attitude. Remember on Brady Bunch where Jan was always saying, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha? That was the way folks in Nashville, as far as in leadership roles, felt Nashville was as far as the sports landscape. You know, Marsha was New York, Chicago, whatever. It wasn't Nashville. And then fast forward 10 years later, the Houston Oilers relocate, the Nashville Predators are in place. And it's amazing how 10 years can change things.
Yeah, and to play devil's advocate to that somewhat, because obviously I was, you know, part of the media covering it at that time, and, you know, I wondered, in 10 years, what happened was not only the Oilers moving here to become the Titans, the Predators expansion and everything, but the corporate world exploded around us as well. I don't know that necessarily in the 80s that there was the corporate infrastructure to support any pro sports team, not Major League Baseball, football, anything. But in that 10-year period, and in since, you know, now with Bridgestone here, Nissan of North America here, all of those different things, everybody, the influx, I don't know that it would have worked any pro sports
well
in the late 80s.
The
But right now, I think anything you put in here would work.
The landscape would have been following the model that Kansas City had at the time. Kansas City, in so many ways, as far as the market, was very similar to what Nashville was back then, and that was the model. Unfortunately, I mean, a good thing is that we have these things now, and of course the MLS now is coming as well, but there's parts of me deep down, I will always hate the fact that we may not ever have the opportunity to have Major League Baseball here now.
Well, and let me use another now, since I'm playing, because I agree with a lot of what you say, but I'm just, you know, just for the heck of it being the devil's advocate here, is that there's I've got a saying that, you know, I want to go out with Halle Berry, but Halle Berry may not want to go out with me. She doesn't know it yet, but, you know, did Major League Baseball want to move here? And I know there was those efforts at the time, but, you know, you have St. Louis, Atlanta, Cincinnati fighting it because it would pull from all three of those from Kentucky, from Cincinnati, from the western part of Kentucky, West Tennessee, from St. Louis, to the south, the Braves. So those three franchises were not going to, be the doing the leading the parade for Nashville to get a major league franchise.
But do the math. I mean, look at the closeness of Baltimore and D.C., for example.
Well, but population would dictate that.
But, you go back, you make a good point from that standpoint, but I go back, if you're on that list, just like the MLS, when Nashville was on the list of, 12 cities, Nashville had no chance. Had no chance whatsoever. In the end, which was one of the two franchises awarded a franchise as far as new, and that was Nashville as far as the MLS is concerned.
Well,
if you're on the list, that means you're a player. And then at that point, it's up to you, it's up to the city, it's up to the leadership positions that are out there business-wise, political-wise, to make something happen.
And I just don't think in then we had all of that infrastructure in place where we do now and where we can have John Ingram throw all of his millions, and then obviously a lot of conversation about what the city did, in exchange for that property out there. We'll see. That I think that jury is still out, but you're just talking about the growth. Where we're sitting right now, Omni Nashville Hotel.
And that's great.
Yeah, it used to be the parking lot for the Bridgestone Arena.
Right.
I remember when the SEC tournaments first started coming to Bridgestone Arena, the NCAA tournaments first started coming here, this is the parking for Bridgestone Arena.
Well, and the only reason I brought it up and I threw out the name Larry Schmidt, first of all, he was my first boss as far as...
Well, he's a good corporate sponsor of your show, too.
Well, that, too. honestly, he is somebody that made me, from a professional standpoint, who I am. He helped lay the foundation, and the simple things that he taught me back then are things that every person coming out of college, people that have been out of the work, out of the college ranks and been working for 10, 15, 20 years should still adhere to, like returning calls, always being professional. Always, if you're in a situation dealing with customers, whether it's in sporting events or just your regular business, always treat your customers right.
Larry, I think the world of him. Mike, his son, and his sons, obviously, are
right. Steve,
are friends, Steve, and all the friends, they're buddies of mine. I really think a lot of Larry Schmidt, personally and professionally. He was always nice to me. He was stern with me. I remember when we were doing all of that stuff with expansion, and I was writing for the Nashville Banner, and I remember Joe Biddle was the columnist for,
right.
And then David Clymer was the columnist for the Tennessean, and he got on all, and whoever else, he said we should not be qualified to comment on any of these matters because we did not reside in Davidson County. I lived in Rutherford County. David and I know Joe, I think at the time, because he's moved 100 times, but in Williamson County. So he said, no, you don't. And I said, well, Larry, if I go in to my bosses and say, hey, I'm not writing on this because I don't live in Rutherford County, guess what? I'm fired. So that was my job. So we've had a very healthy discourse over the years about many, many things, and that's why Larry and I remain friends, because he respected my opinion, I respected his. So I knew we were going to get to it, and you took us right there. That was supposed to be like the meat of the show. This was the appetizer section, okay? Just getting to know you, getting everything, but we got to the meat right away, didn't we?
Yeah, yes, we have.
You brought an agenda to the show this morning. Well, good for you. Johnny Ballpark Franks is our guest, afternoon show host from 4 until 6, 6.30, 6.45, 6.50, or 7 o'clock, depending upon what games we have. We've got something about every night. And then Crazy Charlie's Predneck Nation, which is really, really good, by the way, with that. One of our guests is Toots. You've been to Rutherford County.
I've been to Toots.
Yeah, you've been to Toots. Well, it's a good thing, because if you go to Rutherford County and you don't go to Toots, when you leave the county, you get a citation. You know how they do this. Like when you go through parking tolls on the interstate or everything, and you don't pay, but they take a picture of it and everything. Well, they've got those set up. When you leave Rutherford County, they even got them down onto the secondary roads now. If you don't have that Toot sticker of the receipt, they'll actually send you a bill, and it's 50% off your next visit to Toots. Anyway, good food and fun. Have fun with that. Always start out with talking about the wings, because they are the traditional Buffalo wings. They're fresh, never frozen. They're blasted in that deep fryer right before they're served to you. And the sauces, man, honey barbecue, mild, mild garlic, Cajun dry rub. You can get the Cajun dry rub and then put the other sauces to them as well. Medium hot barbecue, hot, hot garlic, Nashville hot, napalm. Your favorite, Johnny, napalm. And for being a guest, I know you know what's coming. You receive a bottle of Toots wing sauce.
Love it. Thank you very
much.
There you
go. All right. And if there's any more of those around, I'll give you one time. There you go. Let's take a break. More with Johnny Ballpark, Bar Paul Franks when we come. We're going to find out how did they come up with the ballpark. Duh. Hey, coming up next.
Experience the true spirit of Nashville at Bar Lines, an upscale honky-tonk, live music 7 days a week, and an award-winning menu. Conveniently located across from Bridgestone Arena, only blocks from Nissan Stadium, Bar Lines is the perfect spot for sports and live music fans alike. Featuring 22 flat-screen TVs, the best of Music City's up-and-coming talent, Bar Lines offers an unforgettable Nashville experience. Bar Lines has the best hot wings in Music City and handcrafted libations featuring the best local spirits and finest Tennessee whiskeys. Come on down to Bar Lines, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-park. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit TheSouthernNashville.com.
The Smashville app is your key to all things Nashville Predators. From game day stats and videos to rosters, promotion redemption, and contest information, the Smashville app has all the information Pred fans need this season. Make sure to download the official Smashville app in the Apple App Store or Google Play for access to exclusive game day content, promotions, and easy access to Nashville Predators information. Visit NashvillePredators.com/app for more.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
The rocket launched into the air.
And then crashed into the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
I'll never forget that day. Even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and More, located at 2640 Nolensville Pike, serves fine coffee and tea, locally brewed beer from Black Abbey Brewing Company, as well as fresh prepared food. Large groups are welcome for meetings or parties. They accommodate groups of 2 to 40. Call ahead to reserve your space. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or visit the web at flatrockcoffee.com. That's Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and More, where neighbors come together. 2640 Nolensville Pike. Visit flatrockcoffee.com.
It's a Bill King Show.
Usually when Nick wins a natty, in the post game, when he's holding up the trophy, in his mind, it's like, this is an inconvenience. We just played the last game. We won it. Now, I'm ready to move on and get in the office. How soon do you think he was thinking about team meeting, spring practice, weight room? I'd love to know the answer to that.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
University Showcase presented by Omni Nashville Hotel Bongo Java. Corey, Sarah, and Cullen taking great care of us down here this morning. Great people. Bongo Java, just amazing what they do. And, of course, part of the Omni Nashville Hotel experience. Coming up at 11 o'clock this morning, it usually is at 10. We're going to have a little bit of a split over at Kung Fu Saloon on Division Forever March for a couple hours of live remote action over there. Blake Lovell with, of course, Zach Williams. And also want to thank Zach for producing back in the studio this morning where Ty Richardson usually is. But Ty is here because Crazy Charlie is at the U.S. Pond Hockey Championships up in Lake Nokomis, I think is what it's called, right outside of Minneapolis. So we're all mixing and matching. Huntsville, Alabama, Johnny Ballpark Franks. Tell me about growing up. Mom, dad, sisters, brothers, tell me.
Mom and dad, you know, it's one of these things where you bring up my dad. you know, for most of my life, I have not had my father. He passed away when I was 13. But I remember one of my best memories with my dad. Everybody should have a memory like this. And this is why when we talk about sporting events, how, you know, sporting events can bring, you know, moms and daughters together, fathers and sons. But I remember I was able to, and back then it was tough to get this, because for the Iron Bowl, half the stadium in Legion Field were Alabama fans, half the stadium were Auburn fans. It was a 50-50 split. And I was able to secure a pair of tickets for the 1975 Iron Bowl. And my mom, we had a convenience store, we ran in Huntsville, and my mom made my dad take me. And so he was, my whole family are all Auburn fans except for me. And so that, you know, I always had to be different. And so I remember we went, and Alabama, it wasn't much of a game. It was Shug Jordan's last game as head coach of Auburn. And then 9 months later, my dad passes away. And so it's one of those things where I always will always have that memory. It's one of the only times I can remember where it was just my dad and myself, because I have two other brothers. One's like 15 years older, one's a couple of years. So I was always sharing time with my brothers, and that was really the for a big event, the only time I really had that opportunity, and I will always remember that.
13, you secured tickets at age 13?
Yes.
How did you do that?
Talking to the right people. I think that there was an ad in the newspaper or something, if I recall. Back then, people could sell tickets that way, and it was cheap. Yeah. And that's how I was able to pull that off. But and I remember, too, one of the reasons why I'm actually here in front of you now. When I was 12, we were passing a high school football stadium, and we were listening to the radio, and the DJ was talking about the fact that it was during high school football season, and he didn't have the score of the football game on the stadium that we just passed by. Well, I saw the score, so I called him up and gave him the score, and he says, "Well, look, if you can get me a final, then I'll get you an album." I thought, well, that's cool. At 12, free album? Sure. Remember what an album was?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Most people now, or then, of course, you have
cassette. Actually, they've come back.
Yes, they have come back. Yes. The vinyl. Right?
Yeah,
so
the vinyl. Oh, yeah.
And so the next week, he said, look, if you continue doing this, I'll give you albums throughout the year. So I started not only giving scores from that particular stadium, but throughout North Alabama. The next year, I realized this is a service that people will pay for. So I ended up signing up like 10 radio stations, the three TV stations, remember the old UPI, United Press International, as far as the wire service. And back when I was 13, I was making $300 a week, working 10 hours a week. And so I actually kept that throughout my high school, and then it gave me the opportunity also to be a weekend radio DJ for a top 40 station, and the rest is history from that standpoint.
Do you remember what the first album was?
Yes, it was a BT Express and also Linda Ronstadt, the You're So Good album.
Yeah, and BT Express was a nice funk band.
Do it till you're satisfied.
Whatever it is. Don't get me started over here. And so what high school did you go to?
Butler High School, which okay. You know, my middle school is no longer. My high school, which was the second oldest high school in Huntsville, is no longer.
But Butler produced a ton load of athletes.
When I was there, it was the largest high school in the state. Bobby Lee Hurt, who ended up playing 4 years of basketball at Alabama as a starting center, he was in my class. And then 2 years before me, so when I was a sophomore, he would have been a senior, Jimmy Key, who went on to an outstanding Major League Baseball career. But Butler was always producing great football, basketball, just complete athletes.
There's a great Bobby Lee Hurt Wimp Sanderson story, recruiting him or whatever. I think it's who it was at the time, because back then it was sort of the wild, wild west, and, you know, we'll leave it at that. But it was sort of whoever was going to get to Bobby Lee Hurt last was going to sign him. And Wimp had him taken up to a cabin on a lake for the last 3 days and hit him. So he wouldn't be signed by anybody else, essentially.
Well, you know, his last two schools came down to Alabama and Hawaii. Not that he was ever going to Hawaii, but he just wanted, the free recruiting trip to Hawaii. And I actually had that same conversation with Wimp Sanderson. This is one of these things where I didn't steal anything, but I have a huge sports collection. I have an incredible sports memorabilia collection with all the people I've had the opportunity to encounter and be with. But I actually have Bobby Lee Hurt's letter of intent. And the reason I kept it, I was my senior year, I was also a guidance counselor aide. So, I graduated 14th in my class of 500 folks, but I had a lot of free time. And I was going down the hallway, and I see this letter that's been opened, and the return address is the University of Alabama. So it's already open, so I'm looking in it, and I see what it is. And
that's illegal.
It's not illegal.
Yeah, it is.
Because Wimp Sanderson even told me I would have kept it as well. But you know,
statute limitations run out.
But you know who signed it? It was the athletics director as well, and you know who that was?
It was Bear Bryant.
Bear Bryant, yeah. So I've got Bear Bryant, Wimp Sanderson, Bobby Lee Hurd. I said, okay, I got to keep this because they could always get another one.
So you ended up at Florida State. You went. You said, what did you go to, Alabama Huntsville?
Well, I was supposed to go to Syracuse University, and my last letter of saying I'm because there all freshmen had to live on campus as far as housing, and back then everything was snail mail. And unfortunately, the housing part of it missed the deadline by one day. So they said, okay, here's this free four-year scholarship worth, I don't know, back then it was like $70,000 or $80,000 scholarship that I had won. And I can't go until January because there's no housing for me. So what am I going to do now? So I ended up going to the Huntsville branch of the University of Alabama system. And one of the best parts about it, I'm glad I did, because one of the best professors I ever had was my English professor. And I could always write from a fundamental standpoint. He taught me how to write with substance, and certainly that paid off huge dividends later on when I started working in athletics, you know, having to write more as far as press releases, game programs, et cetera. So there's always blessings. And then you know, I had the opportunity, okay, where am I going to go as far as sophomore on? It was either Syracuse, where there was 7 inches of snow a year, or Florida State near the water. Do the math. And Florida State worked out great for me.
And you majored in?
I actually majored in marketing and business.
Okay.
And because I realized I'd already been working in radio for 7+ years, so why major in something I was already doing? And I just thought that no matter what you do in life, you're always going to have to market yourself. And if you work for a company, business and marketing are so important. And once again, another smart decision.
Your first job?
First job was actually working for a radio station. You know, I didn't want to work fast food. So, I mean, you can technically go back to when my parents also had from my age 6 to 11, my parents had a grocery store in Birmingham, part of the Woodlawn area, and then also had a pool hall. And so I had the chance, especially after about 2 years, they opened up the pool hall, and I could work stocking groceries at age 8 and 9 for $1 an hour, or I could go next door, make sure nobody breaks into the pool tables, because back then it was all coin operated, and so I could go over there but play pool all day. So during the summer, I would shoot pool 8 hours a day, and I know that this is not legal, but I think the statute of limitations have run out. If you do anything 8 hours a day, you're going to be really good. I would never call myself a pool hustler because I never wanted to lose. And so, but I became a pool shark at age 9. So for 3 years, I mean, you know, it is what it is. You know, I don't hide from it or whatever. But, you know, I could say I'm a professional because you can make $100 in a short hour. So I don't recommend this for the kids listening, okay?
But you're hustling these men, right?
But they knew what they were getting. Here was a thing for them. They got a kick. They didn't mind losing to me because, you know, when you see somebody, I mean, I'm short now, I'm 5'9", but back then I was really short, barely could even reach over the table. They didn't mind losing their money to me. You know, it was, and in fact, just like the movie Color of Money, where Tom Cruise's character goes on the tour of all these pool halls across the Midwest or whatever, the same thing applied back then. You know, there were these kind of pool halls in Atlanta, Memphis, Birmingham, you name it, that everybody by word of mouth learned to know. And people from outside the city of Birmingham and other states would actually come just to shoot us. I didn't mind. You know, I'd take money from anybody. I didn't care.
Johnny Ballpark Franks, we're going to get to the ballpark thing in a minute. I asked you where your first job was in radio. Where?
In Huntsville.
Huntsville?
And, we were the – it was a top 40 station, the number one music station there. And so I had the chance, started off when I was 13, 14, besides calling in reports – On college football Saturdays, I would do two or three reports per hour giving college football updates.
Yeah.
And then I had the chance, I think everybody has this opportunity, where they run the tape programming or whatever on Sundays. I ran Casey Kasem's Top 40, so I would do an hour live show, then we'd have church service. I would do another 2 hours, and then I'd run the Top 40, so I'd bring in my portable TV, do my homework as far as school was concerned, and got well paid for it.
Johnny Ballpark Frank's our guest every afternoon, Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock, with his show, the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. After the break, we'll get you to Nashville because, of course, the first time our paths crossed, you were the media relations director for the Nashville Sound.
Right.
And then sports information director at Tennessee State, and then later associate athletic director at Tennessee State University as well. We'll get to that in a minute. Let me tell you about Toots one more time. Good food and fun. You know, sometimes just got to have a burger. I mean, and really, it's just, you know, obviously they got all the other things. They got the ribs, and we're going to talk about the baskets in a minute. But their burgers are just amazing. And once again, never frozen, 100% ground beef, hand-pattied daily, and cooked to your order. The Toots Burger, it's been their iconic one, bacon, cheese, and barbecue sauce. They got an avocado Southwest burger, black and blue burger, Mexican sombrero burger, just their classic half-pound burger where you can mix the toppings with cheeses, mushrooms, bacon, jalapenos, and the cheeses that go with it. Also, though, the baskets, chicken finger, catfish, fried oysters, shrimp, clams, frog legs. You ever had frog legs?
I have.
All right. You like frog legs?
Love frog legs.
You know what they taste like?
Frog legs.
You've heard this part before. the very first person who got that was John Robinson. Because Union City, old country boy and everything, so you were ready for it. So good. Yes, indeed, they taste like frog legs, and there's not many places. We had Charlie Mack on last Saturday, right?
I listened.
And he's already hit me up to take. He's never had frog legs. And he sent me an email saying, when can I meet you at the Toots in Smyrna, I guess, the closest one to Nashville? He wants frog legs. And I said, let's go. We'll do it. We'll do it. But anyway, Toots.com is the website. Check them out. Good food and fun. My good buddy Wade Hayes. There are three locations down there. We just mentioned Sam Ridley Parkway in Smyrna, the iconic location on Northwest Broad Street, also South Church Street. And this spring, they're building a new one in the Blackman area. So a fourth locations of Toots. Good food and fun. More with Johnny Ballpark Franks when we come back. Bongo Java, the site, Nashville Sports Radio.
Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure Magazine, one of the most romantic restaurants in Music City, and awarded the 2016 Wine Spectator Award of Excellence. For reservations, simply call 615-761-3707 or go to OpenTable.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-park. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
The Smashville app is your key to all things Nashville Predators. From game day stats and videos to rosters, promotion redemption, and contest information, the Smashville app has all the information Pred fans need this season. Make sure to download the official Smashville app in the Apple App Store or Google Play for access to exclusive game day content, promotions, and easy access to Nashville Predators information. Visit NashvillePredators.com/app for more.
Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and More, located at 2640 Nolensville Pike, serves fine coffee and tea, locally brewed beer from Black Abbey Brewing Company, as well as fresh prepared food. Large groups are welcome for meetings or parties. They accommodate groups of 2 to 40. Call ahead to reserve your space. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or visit the web at flatrockcoffee.com. That's Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and More, where neighbors come together. 2640 Nolensville Pike. Visit flatrockcoffee.com.
Hey, this is Ty Richardson,
Zach Williams,
and Blake Lovell,
inviting you to come check out Forever March live at Kung Fu Saloon Saturday, January 27th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We'll be giving away a pair of Preds tickets, Kung Fu merch, and more during the show. Kung Fu Saloon is located on 1921 Division Street, half a mile from the Vanderbilt campus. Swing on by. We'd love to see you.
Here's it to Jenkins for the championship.
One-on-one with Greg Pogue, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, Bongo Java every Saturday morning. Coming up, you just heard the promo, 11-1 today over at Kung Fu Saloon on Division. Forever March, Ty, Zach, and Blake will be over there. They do a really good job with their show. I mean, it's a good thing they got Blake, because he's the one that knows his stuff. But anyway.
That is so wrong.
And Zach can turn us off in a minute. He's running the show back at the studios. Of course, Ty down here, Crazy Charlie's up at the U.S. Pond Hockey Championship. So good for him. What a trip that is with three of the Mighty Drunks team. Johnny Ballpark Franks is our guest. Your first was the Sounds. Is that how you got here?
The Sounds is how I basically I loved Nashville. I spent some time in Nashville the previous summer, and so I got on the phone. And at the time, George Dice was second in command for the Nashville Sounds, and he was telling me, just like you hear all the time, everybody wants to work in sports, and he was saying, well, to get into baseball, you have to go to the winter meetings, and that particular year, it was going to be in Hawaii. Well, that wasn't going to happen, so I am Mr. Persistent, and I wouldn't let him hang up, and I kept him on the phone, and to the point where he says, when did you say you were going to be coming to Nashville? And I said, I'll be there in 2 weeks. He says, when you come in, give me a call, and basically, somebody that they were counting on to take a job for the next year decided to work for another baseball team, and the door was open, and that's how I got to work closely with Larry Schmitto and George Dice for the next 2 years.
What year was that?
This would have been 86.
So 86 mm-hmm. is when you've been, so a couple years, the media relations director for the Sounds, right?
Right, right. And it's just it's like a kid in a candy store, because I've always been big into history, sports history, whether Major League Baseball or college football, and the fact that, you know, here I'm blessed, because one day I had Pete Rose basically cuss me out because we didn't have cable TV because he wanted to see a horse race, which I don't understand why he would want that.
Yeah, right.
And this was April.
Because he had $50,000 bet on it.
We didn't know this until later. And then the next day he actually apologizes to me, and it was just one-on-one.
He must have won his race.
Maybe. And he says, is there anything I can do? And I should have asked for his jersey.
Yeah.
I did get a baseball, and he did autograph the game program that had his picture on the cover, but...
And then to Tennessee State University.
Then to Tennessee State, and I was there until 1998. And then I had the opportunity with the relocation of the – my mom passed away Christmas Day in 97. I thought, okay, what am I going to – you have one of those reflective moments, and I thought, you know, I want to start my own ad agency, my own marketing group, et cetera. And then I get a phone call from Gish Sherwood and Friends, a very powerful marketing group here. And one of their clients was the 10FL and also the Tennessee Oilers. And so I was, luckily for me, I was a part of the whole get your PSLs now or never have a seat to the stadium. And then there was just a hole in the ground where Nissan Stadium is today. And so I've been very blessed. And then after about a year and a half, Tennessee State, called up and basically lured me back for a couple of years.
As the associate athletic director time around.
As associate athletics director.
Who was there when you were the first time? Who were the coaches?
L.C. Cole was the football coach.
So went to the playoffs.
Yes. Yeah. We were the number one team as far as in Division One, as far as the seas were concerned in 99, the very first year that they made the transition to the stadium where the Titans play. And the Frankie Allen, who I'd worked with previously, he was still the men's basketball coach. And Teresa Lawrence Phillips at this point was giving up the duties as far as women's basketball coach was concerned and making the transition to Coach Jordan.
Well, Howard Gentry, the AD?
The AD at that point, it was supposed to be Teresa was going to go for it.
Uh-huh.
She was the interim athletics director. She decided at the time she wasn't, for whatever reason, she didn't feel like she was ready. And so, and one of the biggest mistakes, they brought Jim Smith over from Memphis, and that was a complete debacle.
So she followed Howard in that interim role as well at that.
Right.
And so, obviously, you know, with me doing the TSU games, I enjoy the heck out of that, by the way. Ballpark. Well, I mean, obviously, ballpark Franks, we get it. But who gave it to you?
But see, you say that, you get it, but...
Well, give it to me.
But
then.
Back then, when it happened, first of all, my first nickname, and I always have a rule about nicknames. You never give yourself a nickname. And my first nickname was Johnny Scoreboard Franks, because I was giving scores to all this.
Okay.
And then when I was 16, we had somebody in Huntsville. He had relocated from a major market. His name was Tom Scott, and he started calling me Ballpark. And this is... before we now have what we know today when you go to the stores, Ballpark Franks, that was really more famous if you actually went to a stadium and got a hot dog. And it stuck, and when I first took the job for the Nashville Sounds, I actually was thinking about getting rid of it, just want to be Johnny Franks. And Scoop Hudgens, who was the first publicity director for the SEC... Long time at Vanderbilt.
Right.
Well, Larry Schmitto provided him. We got to meet each other, and... he was like my mentor, per se, and he pulled me aside, and Scoop said, you know, Johnny, he says, you could keep Johnny Franks, but nobody's ever going to remember Johnny Franks. People will not forget the name Johnny Ballpark Franks. And so age 23 to now, I still have it.
Well, and Scoop Hudgens, longtime writer for the Nashville Banner.
Right, correct.
And then went to Vanderbilt Sports Information, then went to the SEC, as you mentioned, the very first media relations director for the SEC.
Exactly.
I don't know Scoop's first name.
Walter?
Elmore. Okay, but Elmore, you go Elmore Hudgens, huh?
Who's that?
But
right.
Scoop Hudgens, everybody
exactly.
knew in around the country. Everybody knew Scoop Hudgens. So good for that. So that was the ballpark.
That's the ballpark.
Yeah. People give you grief with that sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but that's all right.
Well, at least you didn't give it to yourself, you know, and like my nickname's Pogster. You know who gave me that?
Who?
George Plaster.
I can believe that.
Yeah. Back when I was working for the Nashville Banner and he had his afternoon shows and I'd come on intermittently, you know, like you have guests on now, a writer guest that you have on.
You say something that's really important, especially when we start throwing out all these names, especially the ones that have been in this market for so many years. You know, we go back to, we were talking about Rudy Kalis earlier, but Rudy Kalis, Hope Hines, et cetera, Joe Biddle. You say it all the time on your show that if you don't like me, that's a you problem. And it kind of reminds me of all these individuals we're talking about, the ones that you know, make their mark here in Nashville. Is a big city now, but will always have somewhat of a small town feel as far as everybody knows everybody, and they certainly remember those that are jerks and can't check themselves at the door.
Yeah, there's been a few of those.
Oh yeah, amen.
And we're not going to name any names.
But we know them.
Yeah, and but you sort of paraphrased what I say. Mine is, hey, if you can't get along with me, that's your fault.
Right.
Okay? Because I'm agreeable. Just, you know, if you've pissed me off, you've done a lot of stuff. Okay? Because I'm roll with the flow. So, Johnny Ballpark Franks is our guest. Vicky.
My wife, Vicky. Thank you for bringing that up.
where did you meet her?
Strangely enough, my first week when I was in Huntsville, when I launched my sports talk show career, I just got through interviewing Nick Saban downtown, and he was just into his first year as head coach of Alabama. So I was in line at the local supermarket there, and she was right in front of me. And I thought to myself, this is the most beautiful girl I've ever seen in my life. And I thought, if I don't say anything, I wasn't in the mood to talk really. You know, it's a long day, I don't look my best or whatever. And I thought to myself, if I don't say something to her in about 15, 20 minutes after we part ways, I'm going to forever hate that. And so started the conversation then, but we didn't actually start dating until fast forward about six years later.
Really? Hold on. Back up, though. What was your opening line?
I stopped.
Do you remember?
No.
Do you remember?
I think I actually said I was being completely honest. I actually said, you know, I wasn't going to say anything to you, but I know if I left, I would hate myself forever for not introducing myself to you. And she was dating somebody at the time, so I didn't pressure it. I said, well, here's the thing. I want to know how I can get in touch with you in about 6 months to see where you are and what's going on. And that's really how all that worked out. And then maybe it was fate, because it turns out the dentist that I was going to, she's a dental assistant, and the dentist I was going to at the time in Huntsville, turns out she actually worked there. So strange how that works sometimes. But we moved here together, and we got married in 2014, 3 months later. Great opportunity, because her parents live, they're actually neighbors of Roy Kramer, the former commissioner of the SEC over in near Maryville in Greenback.
Wow.
And so very blessed. And you know as well as I do, you have to have very supportive family members doing what we do.
Her daughter, you were down in Huntsville. This is something, talk about this, because I know you had to take a Friday afternoon off
right.
to go down and be part of this. And this is a great story of what her daughter, your stepdaughter, is doing.
She basically, she always had she wanted to.
Her name?
Her name is Felicia.
Okay.
And Felicia always wanted to be a police officer. She wanted to go in law enforcement. Well, it's just not like saying, I'm going to be a police officer, and then bam, it happens. You have to be persistent, and it took a couple years for her to get herself in the door, but she went through the academy, and we're talking, they totally prepare you well, especially in the city of Huntsville. And as you pointed out, back in December, she is now a new member of the city of Huntsville Police Department.
Outstanding.
And you're really, of all the things I think I've experienced in my life, and I've been around great coaches and all that, and just incredible individuals. I was really totally moved by that, because when you think about what makes our life better is those individuals like teachers, police officers, first responders, firefighters, etc. They don't get paid like they deserve, and they certainly don't get the recognition, and a lot of times they get such huge backlash because of certain individuals. You know as well as I do, no matter what industry we're talking about, there's going to be certain individuals that give the entire industry a bad name. But it was just a very moving opportunity and experience for me to be able to enjoy that moment with her.
Well, and the God bless her and every one of those, all those first responders, because when something bad happens, everybody runs away from it.
Right.
They run to it.
Exactly.
You know, and that. We'll take our last break. We'll be back and wrap it up. We'll get a few thoughts, about a few things on the local sports landscape. Johnny Ballpark Franks is our guest. 101 with Greg Pogue. Bonga Java, the site on Nashville Sports Radio.
I'm Dan Piotrowski, General Manager of the Omni Nashville Hotel. I want to personally invite you to experience the local flavor of Music City at our award-winning property. From our one-of-a-kind culinary outlets to the ultimate luxury of our full-service Mokara Spa, Omni Nashville offers something for everyone. Whether it's the biscuit bar in our Southern-inspired Kitchen Notes restaurant, or our upscale Honky Tonk bar lines, or if you prefer a romantic dinner with that someone special, visit Bob's Steak and Chop House. Come on down and see us at 250 Fifth Avenue South, located in the heart of the SoBro District.
The Smashville app is your key to all things Nashville Predators. From game day stats and videos to rosters, promotion redemption, and contest information, the Smashville app has all the information Pred fans need this season. Make sure to download the official Smashville app in the Apple App Store or Google Play for access to exclusive game day content, promotions, and easy access to Nashville Predators information. Visit NashvillePredators.com/app for more.
Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and More, located at 2640 Nolensville Pike, serves fine coffee and tea, locally brewed beer from Black Abbey Brewing Company, as well as fresh prepared food. Large groups are welcome from meetings or parties. They accommodate groups of 2 to 40. Call ahead to reserve your space. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or visit the web at flatrockcoffee.com. That's Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and More, where neighbors come together. 2640 Nolensville Pike. Visit flatrockcoffee.com.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-parking. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit TheSouthernNashville.com.
I'm a retired school psychologist, and helping people was my thing. After my stroke, when Meals on Wheels started, I was on the other end of the stick, so to speak. My name is Julius Gaines, creative writer, poet, photographer.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Fright Show.
It's just like in sales. You got to believe in a product. I have to transfer that enthusiasm about what I'm representing to you. And Mike Vrabel did that. He conveyed not only the fact that he has confidence, the beliefs, the experiences in his past. Although he has not been a head coach, my gut tells me he can be successful.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
One-on-one with Greg Pogue, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. Again, want to thank all the folks here at Bongo Java, Cullen and Corey and Sarah. Coming up at 11 o'clock this morning, Forever March, Ty Richardson, Zach Williams, and Blake Lovell. We'll be over at Kung Fu Saloon on Division from 11 to 1. Stop by there. They're going to be having all kind of little goodies going on over there. So go by and say hi to the guys. Again, 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock over at Kung Fu with that. Johnny Ballpark Frank's our guest. Of course, every afternoon, Monday through Friday here, 4 until whatever, usually 7 o'clock. Unless,
can you, you're big into music. When I hear Kung Fu Saloon, my first thoughts is the Carl Douglas Kung Fu Fighting.
Everybody was Kung Fu Fighting.
I can't help it. You know, it's just what it is.
Well, I know. I saw you trying to dance, Johnny.
That was not dancing. I was doing my Kung Fu moves.
Is that what that was?
I guess.
Okay. Oh, I got to tell you about Toots one more time.
Sure.
And sometimes you just got to have a beer. So to have a burger, I mean, of course, it's been voted, I don't know how many years in a row, 20, 30 years in a row, the best family restaurant. I'm not kidding you, best family restaurant in Rutherford County for obvious reasons. Actually, kids under 12 eat free, and they get all kind of little goodies to play with, coloring books and everything. But if you just want to go watch games, they got TVs, and they got domestic drafts, premium drafts. They have a house-made sangria that is really good. And I'm not much into that, but I like that. And anyway, signature drink. So you can go and act like an adult and drink responsibly and watch some games. Toots.com, all three locations down in Rutherford County. And they're building another one down there in the Blackman area. Johnny, what do you think the hiring of Mike Vrabel?
You know, here's the thing. The storyline would have... I use the example, Mike Vrabel's press conference on Monday, and here's Vince McMahon with his press conference with the XFL. The storyline is if you blow the press conference, that would be the storyline, because you would expect, if you can't do that, then I don't think you can do the bigger picture thing. I like Mike Vrabel. I have to be honest with you. You know, it's not just what he said, but it's the way he said it. And I look at those opportunities as sales opportunities, where you have a passion for your product, and the important thing of a sales whole presentation is to convey that enthusiasm and transfer it to the recipients of that message. To me, Mike Vrabel did that. And I use the comparison with Vince McMahon this week. The words sounded good if you looked at it just on paper, if you read it in an article online or whatever. But then you hear Vince McMahon, it's like, did you not practice that? I mean, I didn't get enthusiastic by the if you had witnessed it or listened to it or whatever. So, but I like Mike Vrabel so far, you know. But does winning the press conference on Monday translates to W's and L's? I don't know. But I had Jim McBride on from the Boston Globe this week, and he told me something that was very important, that Mike Vrabel is one of Bill Belichick's all-time favorite players. And if you ask the late Bear Bryant or Bobby Bowden or Eddie Robinson, the Grambling legend, if you ask them, you know, who their favorite players, if you're on that list for any of these greats, then there's something special about you. And to me, that kind of said what I needed to know this week, that if Bill Belichick feels that way about Mike Vrabel, then he's got all the intangibles to be successful.
With that, though, it shows it's a cold-blooded business.
Oh, yeah.
You know, obviously, Mularkey takes this team and wins the franchise's first playoff game since the 2003 season, first time in the playoffs since 08 season, and yet they win a game and didn't run into the buzzsaw in New England. But I don't think there's not an outcry. I think everybody says, well, you know, feel bad for Mike, but there needed to be some changes. And now John Robinson is on the clock with Mike Vrabel.
You know why things needed to be changed? You can look at it for, hey, great, back-to-back winning seasons, 9-7, but we're also talking about blown opportunities from that coaching staff. Remember what happened Christmas Eve in 2016? The Titans controlled their own destiny to win the AFC South. What happened? They lost to a lousy Jacksonville Jaguars team on Christmas Eve. Fast forward to this year, 8-4, controlling your own destiny once again. You go on the road, you lay an egg against Arizona, against San Francisco. Win either one of those games or win earlier this year against the Dolphins, the Titans would be the AFC South champs this year. What happened? The fans got cheated this year. What is one of the big sales pitches? I don't care what sport you're talking about. One of the reasons why you buy season tickets is because you have first rights and first opportunities to buy home playoff games. The Titans, and this coaching staff especially, blew that opportunity for the fans.
There you go.
So there. You know, go, well, wait, the Titans were in the playoffs. They get to go to Kansas. Yeah. No, the Titans should have been hosting a playoff game that first weekend.
Well, and just the stubbornness of Mularkey. I don't know if he could have made the changes or not, if he could have saved his job. Johnny, thank you, man. Every Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock, Johnny Ballpark's Frank Show. Thanks for coming down and doing this.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Well, and thanks for when you're sitting over here filling in for me.
My pleasure.
We appreciate that. Speaking of that, next Saturday on University Showcase and 101 with Greg Pogue, like he did a couple Saturdays ago, I'm going to be out traveling with TSU doing games. Greg Ruff will be back in. Ty Richardson, thank you. Zach Williams, thank you. Hey, 11 o'clock. Kung Fu Saloon, Forever March. Go see the guys. And if you're not there, listen. Everybody have a great rest of the weekend.